This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Warning from the Fed. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, May 14th. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says the depth and length of a recession from the new coronavirus can leave lasting damage to productivity. Stocks fell sharply on his remarks.
More than a dozen Obama administration officials requested the unmasking that revealed Michael Flynn. The requests came between the Trump election and inauguration.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down the statewide stay-at-home order issued by an appointed official saying she exceeded her authority.
And what to know if you've lost your job and now need to break the lease on your rented home.
For a lot of people, and especially the people I interviewed, you know, either they just didn't have the money to pay rent because they lost their job, or they decided to, you know, go home closer to family and aren't in their apartments anymore. So I think, like, there are so many reasons, obviously, you might want to break it.
Alicia Adamczyk at CNBC.com on what to know if breaking your lease. As state leaders wrestle with how and when to relax coronavirus restrictions that may have slowed the spread but have definitely crushed the economy, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down a statewide stay-at-home order. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The court sided with lawmakers who said the state's top public health official exceeded her authority by imposing the restrictions. The court ruled that while Governor Tony Evers possesses emergency powers, the stay-at-home directive was effectively imposed by Andrea Palm, secretary for the Department of Health Services, whose discretion as a political appointee is more limited. At stake in Wisconsin, a safer-at-home order that has been extended through May 26th. Meanwhile, the governor urged the public to continue with social distancing. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. While lockdown orders have been challenged in courts in several states, the decision in Wisconsin marked the first such lawsuit to succeed in a larger political debate over social distancing that has grown increasingly partisan. The Wisconsin lawmakers, for example, who filed the suit are Republican. The governor is a Democrat. Rough day for stocks. With the Dow Industrials off more than 500 points, investors were reacting to remarks from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who said further stimulus could be needed to support the economy's recovery from the government restrictions designed to reduce the spread of the new coronavirus. Mr. Powell revealed growing alarm about the path ahead, describing the outlook as, quote, highly uncertain and subject to significant downside risks.
Long stretches of unemployment can damage or end workers' careers as their skills lose value and professional networks dry up, and leave families in greater debt.
Shares of energy, airline, and bank stocks were among the biggest decliners. Halliburton and United Airlines fell 9% each, for example, while Wells Fargo dropped 6.3%. Shares of all three companies have lost more than half their value since the end of last year. Meanwhile, yesterday marked the first three-day losing streak for the Dow since early March. The S&P 500, meanwhile, dropped 1.7%, while the NASDAQ gave up 1.5%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, by the way, has returned to the red for the year. More than three dozen Obama administration officials were given approval to unmask a U.S. citizen mentioned in classified foreign intelligence reports shortly after President Trump's election win, revealing the identity of Michael Flynn. Among those who received approval from the National Security Agency, then Vice President Joe Biden, and then CIA Director John Brennan. A memo released yesterday does not explain the reasons for the unmasking requests. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul on Fox News.
General Flynn was never accused of saying anything untoward, never saying anything that was committing a crime, but they all listened to his conversation, and then they all decided, we've got to get this guy.
Mr. Flynn resigned shortly after becoming Mr. Trump's national security advisor and later pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. The Justice Department has moved to drop that charge, arguing that former FBI officials improperly sought to interview Mr. Flynn. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. A new survey finds 30% of U.S. adults have seen their household income decrease as a direct result of the coronavirus outbreak. That's according to a new survey by Bankrate.com. Insight from Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate. Greg, what are we learning?
Well, you know, with widespread unemployment, you know, we knew that there was going to be a widespread impact on household income as well. Sure enough, 30% of households say that they have seen a decrease in income just since the outbreak of the pandemic. About one in five have already dipped into their savings, and about one in six have added to their debt so far. Those savings and debt numbers, I fear the cumulative effect. I think over time those numbers could certainly grow, you know, even as we reopen the economy.
Mm. All right, so that 30% is a big number, obviously. Any way to put that in perspective, is that kind of what should be expected? What do we know?
Well, it's shockingly high regardless, but when you consider it in the context of an unemployment rate that for all intents and purposes is above 20% at this point, 33 million people having filed unemployment claims in the last 7 weeks, you know, it certainly fits in that narrative, but nonetheless, it's this is in creating economic and financial hardship that's just going to be with us for quite some time. And I think, you know, long after the virus has passed, we're still going to have this lingering elevated level of unemployment, people carrying more debt, and people carrying having less savings as a result of having consumed much or all of it during the pandemic.
Boy, on a somewhat related note, you point out in the survey, despite a more than decade-long economic expansion and record low unemployment, 24% additionally had no emergency savings heading into the pandemic.
Yeah, that number is really remarkably consistent over the last decade. Despite the economic recovery, the needle never really moved very much, certainly didn't improve during that period of time. And so, you know, we knew coming into this that the savings situation for many households was pretty tenuous. I mean, back in January, which seems like light years ago at this point, even then, only 41% of households could have covered an unplanned $1,000 expense yeah. out of their savings. And that was as the economic expansion entered its 11th year and with unemployment at a 50-year low. And needless to say, things are radically different right now. And even those that have savings, as we see, about one in five have already needed to tap into that.
We're speaking with Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. How about a breakdown by geographic region?
Well, the Northeast has been particularly hard hit. And certainly from the income standpoint, Western states as well, you know, of course, you know, many of the earliest and most stringent lockdowns have come in Northeastern states as well as California and Washington state. So, you know, definitely seeing the influence there in terms of the impact on not only income, but, having the tendency to have increased debt during that period of time. We see pronounced levels in both of those areas as well.
And some people have actually seen their finances increase during this period.
Yeah, I mean, so silver lining is that, you know, we do see about one in eight have seen their income go up. About one in five, same number that have kind of bled down some of that emergency savings, same number have added to it. And that includes about half of those that have seen an increase in income, they've added to their savings. So, you know, some positive signs there that there's an effort to save some or all of that additional income that some of these households have been receiving, whether it's, you know, that rare overtime that you're getting. You know, there's an effort to kind of put some of that away, just not knowing what lies around the corner economically.
Thanks, Greg. Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at bankrate.com. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned of the threat of a prolonged recession resulting from the pandemic and urged Congress and the White House to act further to prevent long-lasting economic damage.
The loss of thousands of small and medium-sized businesses across the country would destroy the life's work and family legacy of many businesses.
Powell spoke a day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi proposed a $3 trillion aid package that would direct money to state and local governments, households, and healthcare workers.
Number two.
The U.S. immunologist who says he lost his government job because he warned the Trump administration to prepare for the pandemic isn't backing off his bleak forecast. Dr. Rick Bright will tell Congress today the U.S. faces the darkest winter in modern history unless its leaders act decisively to prevent a rebound of the virus. Bright is set to appear before the House Energy and Commerce Committee.
Number three.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down Governor Tony Evers' stay-at-home order, ruling his administration overstepped its authority when it extended it for another month without consulting legislators. The 4-3 ruling lifts caps on the size of gatherings, allows people to travel, and allows shuttered businesses to reopen. But schools will remain closed and local governments can still impose their own restrictions. Federal agents have seized a cell phone belonging to a prominent Republican senator as part of the Justice Department's investigation into controversial stock trades he made as the coronavirus first struck the U.S. Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, turned over his phone to agents after they served a search warrant on him at his residence in the Washington area. A strong typhoon slammed into the eastern Philippines today after authorities evacuated tens of thousands of people. The first typhoon to hit the country this year rapidly gained force as it blew from the Pacific, then barged ashore. And as golf gears up to return, the PGA Tour will test players, caddies, and key staff for the virus once a week. Everyone at the golf course will have their temperatures taken every day as the tour tries to show it can restart its season in a few weeks with minimal risks. The new restrictions also include no pro-ams, no spectators for at least a month, no family members, and an emphasis on physical distancing everywhere from the clubhouse to the practice range.
No family members.
Nope.
Holy cow. It'd be a lonely golf course. You'd hear everything if they're broadcast,
yes,
what these guys
absolutely
are saying, right?
Yep.
All the caddy chats and stuff. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for being with us. Anxious times for renters these days. While those with mortgages, including landlords, are getting some form of aid from the federal government that has not been extended to the nation's 40 million plus renters. And with some landlords being inflexible with repayment plans, that's left many with one option, breaking their leases. How to do it from Alicia Adamczyk, money reporter at CNBC.com. Alicia, what are you hearing?
For a lot of people, and especially the people I interviewed, you know, either they just didn't have the money to pay rent because they lost their jobs, or they decided to, you know, go home closer to family and aren't in their apartments anymore. So I think, like, there are so many reasons. Obviously, you might want to break it. You know, those are maybe two of the bigger ones right now.
You know, in a couple of anecdotes you had in the story, it's not like these renters are interested in stiffing the landlord. They kind of both said, listen, I feel bad, but I don't have the money. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, and people mentioned too, they're like, well, I guess they can keep the deposit. You know, that's maybe another month of rent or something. But, you know, beyond that, they don't even know really, you know, they don't have money for groceries. They don't have money for rent either. So it's a really tough time.
Well, at least both had other places to go, like with family. But what should you be doing? Let's say, you know, you're looking at your checking account and you're thinking, boy, this does not add up for the month of May or perhaps the month of June. Savings are depleted. What do you do?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing I've heard from, you know, lawyers and other kind of financial experts was to, you know, tune in your landlord as soon as possible, as soon as you maybe think that, you know, you won't be able to make a rent payment or you are thinking about breaking your lease for a longer period of time. Just, like, give them a heads up and see if they're willing to work with you on any kind of repayment program or, you know, like, anything that they can do, I think, contacting them as soon as possible and you know, having that good faith with them goes a long way.
Yeah, but as you point out, some of these management companies don't always respond to emails or phone calls, perhaps because they're just too busy with a lot of this going on.
That's true, and I think we still are kind of early on in this, so I think even those management companies are still figuring out maybe what their response is, especially if they have a lot of tenants who can't pay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I obviously you keep trying. I mean, if other advice I got was, you know, get a lawyer if you can. Obviously, that is an expense. So if you can't afford rent, you may not be able to afford a lawyer. But I guess, yeah, it's like doing that, looking at your lease and yourself and just kind of seeing if there's anything you can do, you know, to work with them.
We're speaking with Alicia Adamczyk, money reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is called "Here's What to Know If You Are Considering Breaking Your Lease." How about this this clause that you mentioned in rental agreements called force majeure? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. So that's a clause that's in there for like catastrophic circumstances. One that comes to mind for me, I think, would be like Hurricane Sandy.
Thanks, Alicia. Alicia Adamczyk, money reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Being stuck at home these days, you probably don't think much about internet privacy on your own home network. Just fire up incognito mode on your browser and no one can see what you're doing, right? Wrong. Even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. Even if you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why, even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. With ExpressVPN, your internet connection is anonymized and can't be traced. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data with best-in-class encryption, so your info is always protected. ExpressVPN has you covered on every device, too. Simply tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless more. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/Gordon, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon. expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, May 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The Fed chair warns of lasting productivity damage from a pandemic recession. More than a dozen Obama administration officials requested the unmasking that revealed Mike Flynn shortly after the Trump election. Meanwhile, a retired judge will challenge the Justice Department's efforts to drop Mr. Flynn's prosecution. Another large protest expected in Michigan's capital today over stay-home restrictions, and the public responds to a 17-year-old worker berated by angry ice cream shop customers. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, you may have missed your last routine teeth cleaning because of the government lockdowns from the pandemic. The good news is that dentist offices have reopened for routine care in about 23 states. The bad news is that the CDC says they are still high-risk areas for COVID-19 exposure. So is it safe to go to the dentist? We're joined now by Dr. Kami Haas, a dentist and CEO of the Super Dentists, one of the largest dental groups in Southern California. Doctor, what should we know?
So I think there are two things that everybody should remember. One is, unfortunately, oral health is one of those things you can't just wait it out and wait for a vaccine. You know, oral health is linked to everything from long-term health issues, like literally everything in the cycle of life, from pregnancy-related issues to airway and growth of the mouth issues to breastfeeding to sleep to systemic diseases like cardiovascular disease, and especially lung health, which is obviously very important during this crisis. But also we have short-term issues. You know, cavities don't pause because there's a pandemic, so they can turn into infections. Infections turn into swellings, require hospitalizations, and all of those. And then we have also oral development issues. You know, if you have a kid that has a crossbite or an underbite, those continue to get worse as the child grows. So for those reasons, we can't just wait this out. So I think the second question the patient should ask themselves is, is it safe to go to the dentist? And what are the questions they should ask the dentist? So I think I would advise people to think of three things in that area. One is the individual risk. Obviously, if you're over 65 and underlying conditions, all those things that we know that increases the risk of potential problems with this virus, those patients should be just more careful about what procedures they end up doing or there are things that they can delay, which really brings me back to the second issue, and that's, if let's just say you have a, I'll give you a simple one. If you have a, if you're going to do a tooth whitening, maybe that's a procedure we should wait until there's a vaccine, right?
Yeah.
But really, almost all the other dental procedures, you know, if you have a cavity or if you're going to, especially going to get your teeth clean, or if you have a mouth guard, all of those things are so important to your health. And so we want to get those done. And then the last thing, of course, is to ask the right questions about your dentist to make sure the dental office is safe, that individual office that you're going to go to, that they're following all the protocols, which I'm sure they are, but there are a lot of good questions you can ask them.
Yeah. All right. So you should expect of your dentist or orthodontist that he or she is, at a minimum, I would guess, a mask and gloves. Do you, are you yourself, for example, wearing a plastic eye shield these days,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So obviously, as dentists, we've always had great infection control protocols and universal precautions in place already, right? Because we've had to deal with a lot of pathogens in the past, like HIV and hepatitis and TB and everything. But we've definitely stepped it up, and we have a lot of new protocols and new guidelines from CDC, from ADA, from OSHA. But on top of it, I think that's just the bare minimum that what dental offices are going to be doing. A lot of our offices, including mine, we're taking additional steps. For example, one of the best ways, as you can imagine, to keep this virus out is to only allow healthy people to begin with in the office, right? So screening processes are going to be in place in dental offices that are opening that is going to be very different than what you remember before the COVID, you know, when you go to the dental office. For example, when you call to schedule an appointment, all the dental offices are now going to ask you, the typical questions. And if you had fever, do you have any symptoms? Have you been with someone? Have you traveled? All of those things. And then right before you walk in, they're going to ask the same questions. They're going to take your temperature. To minimize the number of people in the lobby, in the waiting rooms, and allow for social distancing, many offices, including mine, like in our office, because we're a pediatric office, primarily we've developed a virtual waiting room. We call it virtual super lounge. So everything you would have expected to see at a pediatric office, like video games and movies and toys, I mean, all the things that we do, many of the things that can be virtualized, we virtualize it. So we have now on our webpage video games and movies, and you can do drawings and there are contests. So to be entertained in the car, you know, with your mom's or dad's phone or tablet while you're waiting,
Yeah. You
can virtually check in your car, do all of your paperwork digitally, you know, through your text and email, and then just be called in. And then we have video conferencing that we put in so we can, give progress reports to parents,
okay,
to really minimize the number of people that are in the office.
Yeah.
And every single office person that walks in, including the staff, the doctors, the patients, if the parent has to accompany a child, they're all going to be thoroughly screened to make sure only healthy people are allowed in the office.
Thanks, Doctor. Dr. Kami Haas, dentist and also CEO of The Super Dentists. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/gordon to start shaving better today. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop, some head-scratching stories with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know it's a dream for many anglers to catch a fish that weighs more than they do, but you could fish your whole life and never make that a reality. Enter Coy Price, a 9-year-old Tennessee boy who landed an 80-pound sturgeon, the third child in his family, to catch a monster fish. Coy's 11-year-old sister Caitlin hooked a 40-pound striper, and his 8-year-old sister Farah reeled in a 58-pound blue catfish a while back. The fish easily outweighed Coy, who only tips the scales at 55 pounds himself. It took him 15 minutes to get the rare fish in the boat, where they waited and took some pictures before returning it to the water. Sturgeon can grow up to 8 feet in length and live up to 150 years. So this was a baby, right? unbelievable.
There's a picture of the kid with the fish that I'm looking at now, right? He's sitting down, it looks like, in the boat. The fish is across his lap on top of like a big towel to keep him from getting messy.
Right.
And it looks like he's almost crushed under the weight of the fish. He's managing a smile, but it looks like he's really clenching his gut to avoid this thing smothering him.
I mean, as much as he enjoyed reeling it in, I'm sure he was probably happy to get it off of him and probably back in the water at some point.
That is great. That is great. How about that family, though?
Oh, yeah.
And they got the goods there.
They know
the Price
what they're
family.
Doing.
Yeah, holy smokes.
You want to go out with them, I think.
I do. I do. Yes, I do.
Yes. And while the human race may not be having its best stretch right now, we know animals are enjoying all the extra room, having been spotted strolling right down formerly crowded streets during the pandemic, but never in numbers quite like this. An incredible video of hundreds of goats freely walking down a neighborhood street in San Jose, California, took over the internet yesterday. The herd apparently escaped from their enclosure Tuesday and began walking down the road, but fortunately, handlers were able to eventually take control and minimize the potential havoc. Unfortunately, for a few of the people who live on the street, the goats showed no mercy to their carefully manicured plants and dropped plenty of extra fertilizer along the way.
Oh. Fertilizer, you said in air quotes.
Yes, we know. Yes, we know what that is.
Yes,
can be messy if dropped in large quantities without first actually putting it there yourself.
And this wasn't a handful. This was hundreds. You said,
hundreds of goats. Yeah.
In San Jose.
Wow. Yeah, not exactly a rural area of the country.
That's
funny. Yeah. Now this comes on the heels of, we saw a big herd of deer on the beach in New Jersey. Did you see that video?
No. I heard
deer,
about it.
Yes, the deer, which of course we see when we drive to work back and forth here, are now taking over the beach because, you know, we're not out on the beach as much as we used to be.
This video of the goats, by the way, is ripe for Barstool Sports on Instagram. They have the best captions of video, right?
This is
something along the lines of my boys and me as the bars reopen or something like that, right? Something like that.
Nice. Yeah, the good caption contest.
All right. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. And you can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Why are you getting a much smaller stimulus check than you expected? As much as you'd like to be happy about seeing a check in your mailbox or spotting the direct deposit in your bank account, sometimes you end up wondering why you didn't see more money. The Detroit Free Press identified a couple of reasons why. For one, there could be a holdup with your 2019 federal income tax return. If you qualify, you're automatically going to get stimulus money if you filed a 2018 or 2019 return. You aren't required to file your 2019 return until July 15. So if you filed the 2019 return, you could be experiencing some delays. Another reason, do you or your spouse owe past due child support? Again, your payment will be smaller than expected, and it could be even worse than you might imagine thanks to a glitch. There have been some problems for couples when it comes to the injured spouse claims. The IRS, by the way, is trying to fix this. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Worries about the economy are resurfacing on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials sank 516 points yesterday after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned about the threat of a prolonged recession. The sharpest losses hit stocks that most need a healthy economy for their profits to grow, such as energy companies and banks.
Number two.
President Trump's calling on governors across the nation to reopen schools, pointedly taking issue with Dr. Anthony Fauci's caution against moving too quickly and sending students back to class. The president accused Fauci of wanting to play all sides of the equation.
I think you should absolutely open the schools. Our country's got to get back, and it's got to get back as soon as possible.
Fauci urged caution in testimony before a Senate committee on Tuesday.
Number three.
U.S. officials say China-linked hackers are targeting organizations researching COVID-19. The FBI says it has seen hacking attempts on U.S. groups researching vaccines, treatments, and testing. The U.S. has long accused the Chinese government of cyber espionage, something Beijing denies. President Trump's former campaign chairman Paul Manafort has been released from a federal prison due to coronavirus concerns and will continue serving his 7.5-year sentence for tax and bank fraud from his Northern Virginia home. Manafort's attorney sought his release last month, citing his age of 71 and a number of health problems. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence has given lawmakers a list of names of Obama administration officials who requested intelligence reports that revealed Michael Flynn's identity in 2016 and 17, a revelation that comes as the Justice Department seeks to drop charges against the former National Security Advisor. Richard Grenell, the acting director of the National Intelligence, declassified the list of names provided to Republican Senators Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley yesterday. And having a fun day at a theme park is now going to take a lot more planning. Six Flags hasn't yet shared any reopening dates for its 26 parks, but when they do open, you'll have to make an advanced reservation. You'll have to not only schedule a day, but also a time and prepay for parking using a new reservation system. By eliminating on-site transactions, Six Flags says it can reduce up-close interactions between visitors and employees.
Well, that sounds fun. Minimal interaction between visitors and employees. Great.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. A former employee of a Massachusetts ice cream parlor has received more than $30,000 in donations for her college fund after becoming the target of verbal assaults from patrons on reopening day. Mark Lawrence, the owner of the Polar Cave Ice Cream Parlor in Mashpee on Cape Cod, says on opening day, the shop was overwhelmed with customers, some of them agitated that their orders were taking too long. But instead of waiting patiently, Mr. Lawrence told Fox News that customers began spewing vulgar and hateful words toward one of his employees. The girl, just 17, then quit at the end of her shift. She had worked at the shop for 3 years. Mr. Lawrence decided not to reopen his shop the next day. Instead, he started working on a new plan to try to prevent angry crowds, devising a system requiring customers to place their orders at least 1 hour in advance. He also set up a GoFundMe for the young woman's college fund. It's approaching now $40,000. It's not clear, by the way, if the 17-year-old has returned to the job at the shop. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.